to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
We're back. This is the National Intel Report, live on the RBNLive.com network. Free radio for a free society, coming to you today from New York City. I'm Barry Zwicker, Canadian author of the new book, Towers of Deception, the Media Cover-Up of 9/11. I'm sitting in for the regular host, Hans Stadtmauer. Now, before the break, we were discussing about making the people sovereign in this republic rather than having a gang of crooks at the top. And the question that a lot of people are asking, a lot of people already agree with that point of view. You may not as a listener, but a lot of us do, that something's got to be done. What can be done? What should people do? What is the path back to democracy? And we have on the line Fred from Philadelphia, and he's going to tell very briefly about how he was brought in for jury duty and why he decided not to serve. It has to do with American democracy. Fred, take it away.
Okay. This would be a way for people to participate on the jury in making democratic decisions. This is what I'm proposing, that a juror have the right to be fully informed and to decide for an acquittal if he feels that the law is unconstitutional. When you're a juror, you're basically a judge, and you really can't have your verdict questioned.
Okay.
Secondly, you have freedom of conscience to do that and not to convict if you feel the law is unconstitutional. Nothing is forcing you to do that. Then I think there should be an immediate review of the law, of the law's constitutionality, as soon as a jury decides that they cannot convict a defendant based on their belief that the law is unconstitutional. And I think that would immediately cut down on the huge number of unconstitutional laws that are carried on the books until a court finally gets around to striking them down.
Okay, now I'm going to ask Ian in a moment what are his views on this. But let me just ask almost a technical question of you, Fred. What led you to believe that when a jury acquits a charged person, a defendant, on the basis that the law under which that person was charged is unconstitutional? I mean, who told you that can't be done, that a jury can't do that, or that if a jury does that, that then that law still stands in the books as if there was no jury decision?
Well, that used to be part of the right of a juror in the 19th century, going up into around the early 20s of the 20th century, but that basically became off limits because that was very disconcerting to judges and to the legislature, that people were actually taking their conscience into the jury room and deciding on that basis. You can't decide, Barry, that a law right now, you can't decide that a law is unconstitutional and acquit an defendant that way. I think you should have the right to do that, just like before.
Okay, now we're going to come back to that because we have one more break, and we're going to have you back, Fred. We'll finish this discussion, and then we'll be on to Rick in Nevada.
Are you experiencing memory loss, mood swings, slowed reflexes? Well, North American Herb and Spices NeuroLoft helps make your mind and nerves work better. The powerful herbs and spices in NeuroLoft naturally support the function of the brain and nervous system. To maximize your mental clarity and productivity, call 800-243-5242 and try NeuroLoft today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If joint pain, stiffness, or discomfort stops you from enjoying the things you like to do, now there's help. Introducing Joint Nutrients, the all-new, fast-acting, all-natural, great-tasting liquid formula that, when taken as directed, can help relieve the pain associated with osteoarthritis and with no harmful side effects. Joint Nutrients help restore and replenish joint fluid that is lost with aging, certain injuries, or constant pounding of the joints. And unlike other products that simply address the pain, Joint Nutrients goes to work to start repairing and correcting natural joint function while providing the relief you need. So if you are one of the millions of Americans who suffer from arthritis, then you need Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670. 1-866-240-5670. Reduce arthritis pain, increase flexibility, and enhance joint health with Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Hello, we're back. And actually, it's not John Stadtmiller. It's a guest host, Barry Zwicker from Canada. This is the National Intel Report live on the RBNLive.com network. John has handed over his show today to me and actually to another fellow Canuck, my guest, Ian Woods, who is the publisher of Global Outlook, the magazine of Magazine Truth. It's a Canuck takeover of the RBNLive.com network by Friendly Canucks. Now, that's I had to mention that because we still have on the line Fred from Philadelphia. And Fred was saying that according to his understanding of jury duty in these United States these days, that there's a problem in so far as a person who is goes free or is considered innocent by virtue of the law under which he was charged being unconstitutional, that there are problems, that those laws then are not stricken from the books. And he says they should be. I tend to agree because my understanding in a democracy that a jury is finally all sovereign. The jury is such an important foundation stone of democracy. But before we get back to Fred, if you don't mind, Fred, I want to ask my guest, Ian Woods. We're both from Canada, so this is kind of an odd situation. What Ian thinks about this very matter, and I'll specifically mention, Ian, to you, the Morgenthaler case. For RBNLive.com listeners who don't know, Dr. Morgenthaler is a practicing physician
who has been very much in favor of women's rights to an abortion if they wish. In other words, he's in favor of reproductive choice. And three times he was charged under some law or other. Ian, maybe you can remember. And then three times juries refused to convict him. Ian, can you speak to that case? And let's relate it to what Fred from Philadelphia has been saying.
Goodness, Barry, that is not my expertise on that case. I just know that he won the rights to all sorts of back pay for all the work that he had done before that the government was not willing to pay, and now all the patients who had to pay private fees for that are going to be reimbursed. But what I was going to mention about what Fred brought up, which is quite pertinent to this idea of participatory democracy, is that the idea that people on a jury are smart enough to be able to make a decision about whether a man is guilty or innocent and can be put to death in some of the states and in Canada be put away for life in prison. And wouldn't it be outrageous if the people on the jury had to somehow qualify by being in a certain income bracket, or they had to be elites of some kind, they had to have a university degree, and that is the way the government seems to be run right now, is that you can't get into Congress unless you're a multimillionaire who can afford to be in Congress. And I think that that's part of the problem right there. And I wanted to get more into the idea of participatory democracy after we talk about Fred's case.
Yep, that's very good. And you know what, Fred? If you can just sum up with just your final idea on it, and then let's go on to Rick in Nevada and direct democracy.
Okay.
You got the last word.
Right. The matter stands where you do not have the right like you did before in the 19th century and up to like the 20s of the 20th century to decide the vote to acquit or to convict based on the constitutionality of the law. You do not have that ability. Now, I think you should, and I'm coupling that. My idea is to have an immediate review of the laws and of the law's constitutionality when a jury comes back with that decision. That's my idea. I haven't seen that anywhere else. And I'm saying that if you did that, that would tie in basically the sense of the people with the responsibility and the ability of the courts to act responsibly.
Sounds like a good idea to me, Fred. I thank you. You summarized it really well. And let's go on to Rick in Nevada and ask Rick, before he says what he planned to say, Rick, what do you think of what Fred just said? Are you there, Rick?
Statement.
Yeah, are you there, Rick?
To tell you the truth, I've been too busy preparing my statement.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, prepare your statement.
MySpace.com/New World Odor, as in stench or stink. MySpace.com/New World Odor. Is a clearinghouse, not the clearinghouse, but a clearinghouse, calling for the reinstatement of Professor Stephen Jones at Brigham Young University. You can go to that site. There are email links to the president of the university, to the spokesperson, to the dean of the College of Physical and Mathematical Sciences, to the associate deans, to the chair of the Physics and Astronomy Department. These are the people who will decide Professor Stephen Jones' fate, a man who has stuck his neck out for his fellow Americans, and we don't want to leave him hanging out to dry.
Boy, Rick, do I ever agree with you, and I bet you do too, right, Ian?
Oh, absolutely. That's
okay.
Your
host and your guest are on with you on base on that, Rick. Now, Rick, because we did discuss Stephen Jones, Professor Stephen Jones, a little earlier in the program, can you just, not too great length, just review what has happened to him. I believe he was released from his teaching duties with pay. Can you just, because you seem to know a lot about the specifics.
I know a bit about it.
Okay,
he has been released from his teaching duties, day-to-day teaching duties, with pay. It's a paid leave pending an investigation by those people I named, whom you can email through that site whose address I gave to you. And,
give it again. Give that site again.
MySpace.com/ New World Order.
Yeah, and is New World Order one word?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
My space is my, just myspace.com / New World Order.
Right. I think people should check this out.
Now, Professor Fetzer, I'm sure, is putting together something, and if not, maybe you can cajole him to do so. I don't have contact to the man, but I'm sure that he would be glad to put his organizations, including his 9/11 Truth Scholars organization, together to get a worldwide petition for calling for the reinstatement of Professor Jones to his teaching position for the sake of decency and for the sake of academic freedom, if nothing else, and for the fate of Professor Jones.
Yeah. And Rick, how do you see this situation in the larger context of the First Amendment, the freedom of speech for all citizens, not only academic citizens?
It's not just a matter of freedom of speech. It's a matter of freedom of thought. The administration in power today is attempting to put terror into the hearts of anyone who dares express a thought counter to the Bush administration's and the Bush administration's backers' vision, a dark, twisted vision.
Yeah. If you and also Ian Woods, our guest, I think this is related. It may be a jump, but I think it's related, and I've run into this in the last few days when I was being interviewed by commercial radio hosts, and they say something like this. The study that was put out by NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, they say surely that answers all the questions you would want answered about how the Twin Towers came down and how Building 7 came down 5 years ago yesterday. Now, this is, I know, not directly connected to academic freedom and people like Professor Jones speaking out, but it is related to some kind of huge corruption, is it not? First, Ian, can you give your thoughts on that, and then let's end up with what thoughts Rick from Nevada may have.
Well, the NIST study still does not come out with what happened to Building 7. We know that. And I agree with everyone in the 9/11 Truth Movement that their rebuttal to the 9/11 Scholars for Truth, which their website, by the way, is www.s, as in scholars, t as in truth, 911.org, www.st911.org, where they have all their postings, of course, there's so many academics who are behind it right now that the NIST is another whitewash. And Kevin Ryan, who's a member of that, has written a fine paper and got a new DVD out on it that certainly explains all the anomalies can only be answered by controlled demolition.
To paraphrase Alex Jones, in my mind, the greatest patriot this nation claims, there are holes in the NIST report, there are holes in the government's version produced by the Cain Commission that you could fly a Boeing 747 through, and we need to counter that NIST report with scientific meritus material such as Professor Stephen Jones has produced.
And Kevin Ryan, who, of course, was fired from his job. He was working under Underwriters Laboratories, and he himself, being a chemist, was privy to all the data that was scientifically investigating the strength of the steel and the amount of insulation that was fireproofing on each of the 47 columns in the Twin Towers, which were supposedly all blown off all at the same time, weakening all the steel members so that they all collapsed equally at the same time. It's unbelievable. You just can't stop five laws of physics on September the 11th and call it normal.
Reinstate Professor Jones. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. You know what? I'm the host, Barry Zwicker, for John Fetmar, and the last 3 minutes or so I didn't hear because my phone line mysteriously went dead. Can you hear me, Ian?
Yes.
Indeed. Now we have Dan from Texas.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The counsel to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
We're back with the National Intel Report, live on the RBNLive.com network, coming to you today from New York City. I'm Barry Zwicker, Canadian author of the new book, Towers of Deception, The Media Cover-Up of 9-11, which should be in all bookstores by now, by the way. I'm sitting in for regular host John Stadtmauer, and my guest today is Ian Woods, the publisher of Global Outlook, the magazine of 9/11 Truth. Ian, I'm having some trouble saying the title of the magazine today for some reason.
Well, that's okay. Sorry? People can check it out on the net. It's www.globaloutlook.ca.
Thank you for that, Ian. Now, we have on the line John from California, and I know which John that is. That's got to be John De Herrera. Gentleman I met in Ventura, California, a week or so ago, and he spoke up at a public meeting very, very strongly and in a very articulate way. And I got to warn you, John, the way you carry things, we're going to have to put a time limit on you. But I'm so glad you called in because you have this website that has to do with the Constitutional Convention and cc2.org. And will you just sort of summarize for our listeners what is on that website?
Yeah. The Constitution is made up of two types of law, the structural law and the civil law. And the structural law is absolute, Either you can do something or you can't. There's a procedure, and it's followed. And so the whole mess that all American, or most Americans are dealing with, 80% of Americans, is that corporate rule has taken over. And the law that's found in the Constitution says that once the states apply for a national convention, also known as a constitutional convention, that Congress must call the convention. They must issue the call to the states. That's the word shall in the Constitution, meaning they don't have a choice, or it doesn't have a choice whether it wants to call a convention or not. It must call a convention.
Does it have to, John, does it have to be all the states, or is it a certain percentage or number?
No, it just needs to be two-thirds of the states. But the congressional record, which is a public record, shows that all 50 states have applied for such a convention, and members of Congress are currently failing to carry out their constitutional obligation and issue the call to the states.
You are kidding. Are you telling me, I'm a Canadian, you know, so I don't know about these things. I had no idea. Are you telling me that all 50 states have asked for a constitutional convention and this is being ignored by the Congress?
Yes, actually the legal term, it's a French term, comes from the French. It's called latches. And latches is ignoring something on purpose. And the Congress, I mean, our Congress has been corrupt for a long time, except now we're really experiencing the effects, especially of the last 50 years or so, of the military-industrial complex. That's why things are so haywire now. But there is a federal lawsuit. It's currently before the Supreme Court. It's titled Walker versus Members of Congress. And the suit asks the court if all the applications are registered on the record, and the Constitution states very plainly that Congress shall call a convention, and there's 208 Supreme Court rulings backing up this position. The question before the court is, does Congress have to obey the Constitution or not? And if you ask any American, whether they're conservative or liberal, everyone wants the government to obey the Constitution.
Yeah.
So now it's very likely the Roberts Court would attempt to brush this under the rug and, you know, have the corporate rule continue on. But even if it does do that, it does not negate the fact that there are 567 state applications on the congressional record, and the convention call was always based on a simple numeric count. So in terms of political science, I heard Ian mention earlier that we need to get everyone together and up, you know, participating in our constitutional form of governance. But I would like to make a distinction. We only need a tipping point majority of Americans right now. There are many, many Americans out there who don't have time to pay attention to politics because they're doing the best they can just to keep their head above water.
Yep.
What we do need is a tipping point majority of Americans, which is about 15 to 30 million Americans all saying the same thing, which is we need a national convention. If Congress is not going to do such things as standardize the voting process and prohibit proprietary source code in voting machines, if we can't count on it to do those types of things, then clearly we need to have a national convention so state delegates can get in there and propose the things we all know Congress never will.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions, John, and then I'd like Ian to come in here and comment on this, especially from his point of view, which is he's in favor of something, Ian, that you call direct democracy. Now, my two questions are these. Does anyone know when Supreme Court is supposed to come down with its ruling on this? And that's one question. Keep that in mind. Second question is this. Supposing the Roberts Court does rule against it and that we require, as you say, 15 or 30 million Americans to take action, do you have ideas about how that action would be taken? I mean, would it be an Internet petition? Would that be good enough? Would you get some leading jurists that have very, very good names to lead it somehow? How? That's my second question. How, in real life, would you get those 15 to 30 million Americans organized and mobilized? But first of all, when is the court due to bring down its ruling? We got to take a break, and after the break, John will answer that question. Those questions, I hope. I'm Bez Wicker for RBNLive.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Over 100 million Americans have dangerously high cholesterol. Are you one of them? North American Urban Spice has developed Cholestamine, an all-natural food-based supplement proven to give your body the nutritional support it needs to lower cholesterol and improve circulation naturally without the side effects of harmful prescription drugs. Call today, 800-243-5242, 800-243-5242 for Cholestamine.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
And it's Perry Zwicker sitting in for John Stadtmauer on the National Intel Report. They're coming to you live on the RBNLive.com network from New York City today. And my guest today is Ian Woods, publisher of Global Outlook, the magazine of magazine truth. The only one in the world exclusively devoted to 9/11 truth. And on the line, we have John D. Herrera of Ventura, California, whose website is cc2.org. That stands for Constitutional Convention 2.org or concon2.org. And I asked John just before the break if he would explain when the ruling of the Supreme Court on the matter of the states asking for such a convention is due to be brought down to his knowledge. And secondly, if the Roberts Court does not rule in favor of those states' request, then how do we mobilize 15 to 30 million Americans to make it happen? So, John, take it away.
Well, the suit is in the form of a writ of certiorari, and that is before the Supreme Court. Basically, that's just a question before the Supreme Court. And it takes four justices to say yes to it, to take it on, to see if they're going to hear arguments about it at a future point. And we should probably find that out, according to Bill Walker, the plaintiff, probably somewhere within the next 2 months.
Okay.
But what I like to stress is that even if the Roberts Court brushes it under the rug or, you know, lets go. It still does not negate the fact that constitutionally, right now, because the requisite states have applied, Congress must call a convention right now. And the only reason they are not calling a convention is, of course, because corruption's become institutionalized in the legislative branch, and it's not functioning properly. There's a short documentary on the cc2.org website you can see. Well, I guess the point I should just make, and I don't want to take up anyone else's time, is that I believe it's really going to take some mainstream media folks to step up to the plate and say, hey, look, you know, it's time for a national convention.
You know, John, I was just going to say that because you're telling me about this, and you first mentioned it in Ventura when I was at a public meeting there, and you spoke up so well. And I just thought it was criminal. I have never heard about this, and I don't hear other Americans saying that they've heard about it. You are the first guy who spoke about it in the sort of the 2 weeks I've been in this country on a book promotion tour. And this has to speak to another terrible omission on the part of the mainstream media, that they are simply not reporting this vital issue.
Right. And so, there's another prong of attack, I guess, is you might put it like that. In terms of political science, what you want to find is you want to find an idea that a vast majority can agree on. And that one idea right now is not a constitutional convention. It's a very divisive subject because it's been tarred and feathered with so much misinformation over the years. But the idea that is very popular right now is securing the vote from corporate interests. Right now, we have there's some estimates that up to half the country will be voting on proprietary source code. There's nothing wrong with electronic voting per se, but if the source code that instructs that computer how to tally the votes, if that is kept in the hands of private corporations, then in essence you have a corporation telling you who won the election.
Yeah.
Now, whether you're a student of conspiracy theory or not, it doesn't matter. To have that situation at play in reality, which it is like leaving a gun laying around the house.
Well, it's a coup.
Right. So the one, it's definitely the same forces that are behind all these problems are definitely trying to take our vote away.
Well,
so,
how do you roll back these touchscreen machines if that's what it takes?
Oh, here's my idea, and I'm not saying it's the best idea, but I've been looking at the problem for a little while. I think that we should pressure Congress to call a state of emergency, design an official U.S. voting machine, and contract and mandate that the states build those things day and night until everyone is voting on the exact same machine with open source code. Of course,
right.
We can still have absentee voting. If you want to write in your vote, mail it in, that's fine. But when it comes to going to a polling place, every American should vote on the exact same machine with open source code.
Well, you know, John, as a Canadian, I have never been able to understand how Americans allowed themselves to have all these touchscreen machines in the hands of corporations like Diebold and so on. But you know what, John? I'm just going to hold you there because Ian hasn't had a chance to have a peep of a word about any of this. And Ian, I want to bring you in. You're the guest, and you have a lot of excellent ideas about, don't go away, John, but about participatory democracy, about direct democracy. And what do you think about what you've been hearing for the last so many minutes?
Yeah, well, I think it's a great idea of John's, and that is one thing that maybe we could offer John to do a paper for Global Outlook magazine in there, because we are trying to get to solutions to reclaim our future. I know another fellow I was talking to who phoned in and said he's a computer programmer, and he said that there's no way that any computer is ever going to be solid, and even with a computer paper trail, it's not going to work. We've got to go back to the paper ballots. That's the only thing that can be solid, that we're ever going to be sure of how people voted, and that will actually tally up against the exit polls. So that's one element there. The other thing that I wanted to get to really was that the whole system of representative democracy has been completely distorted over time by the lobbyists and the multimillionaires who've been able to buy people's votes and buy Congress, buy the Senate, and that is that we need to have, instead of a system of representative democracy, we need a system of direct democracy where people vote on the issues and not on representatives who go to Washington or to their state capitals and actually misrepresent us, because the minute they get there, the lobbyists latch onto them and say, look, if you're willing to do this for us, we will make sure that you get voted back in next year or next term. And it's all about thinking just 4 years ahead, and they need the money to be able to drive the campaign to get them reelected. And what I'm thinking and seeing in Canada and around the world is we have a system of misrepresentative democracy. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to stop voting on politicians, and we've got to start voting on issues. And that's the one of the things that came out of my visit to the Oracle of Delphi, was that how can people participate really in politics if they're only getting involved once every 4 years to vote on someone who's going to misrepresent them? After a while, they just give up voting. And every time, year after year, we're getting less and less people interested in voting. In Australia, they have to fine people for not voting. It's that bad. So what I'm thinking is that we need a campaign where people are asked to vote on issues. Don't vote on the politicians. So that's my two cents worth.
You know what? That's a beautiful description of direct democracy. You and I have talked about that in the past, and I never really got a proper, clear idea of what you meant, and you've just made it beautifully clear. Do you know what? We've got three calls waiting. We've got Texas, Missouri, and California again. And I'm going to ask you, John, to really basically tell us your website and then clear the way for us to hear from other people in a very democratic spirit.
Copy that. The website is cc2.org, charlie2.org. And I guess my only comment before I get out of the way and listen to what everyone else has to say is that, you know, if we can do banking day in and day out securely, transactions, there's no reason why we can't do it, do our vote securely, transaction. And so, you know, it's either we're going to find out within the next 12 to 18 months whether we're going to pull out of this nosedive or not. And so we're going to see what happens. I know there's a lot of Americans out there who love America as much as you can love it. And so I think we have enough of them. And thanks, Barry, for having me. If you can, I'll give you a call later, and if you can give me Ian's information, then I will surely write a paper for his magazine.
That is great. We're ending on a very practical note, though, John. Thanks a lot. We'll be in touch later. You're going to call me in Toronto. Let's go on to, we've got Dan in Texas. Are you there, Dan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What do you got to say?
Well, I was going to say, you know about the jury. I wish you'd know something called the Fully Informed Jury Association. .com.
Uh-huh.
And that'll explain how the Constitution clearly says the jury runs the show, not the judge, which is, of course shows how corrupt our courts are according to the Constitution. But it's Fully Informed Jury Association.com. And those you, what you can do if you're on a jury, you have the right to speak out. And I'll show you how many people who've actually been, like this one, I think, 80-year-old lady, she went to jail because she actually said to the jury what she wanted to say when she was on the jury. And numerous examples when they have information on what to do if you're called for jury duty. And then I've been on a witness stand in two trials and jury in one trial. And if you tell them when you're interviewed by the prosecutor or the defending attorney that you like the Fully Informed Jury Association, that's a sure way to get out of being selected for a trial. They do not want you on a jury if you're aware of what the Fully Informed Jury Association tells you.
Boy, that is a sad comment, isn't it, Ben?
Oh, undoubtedly. That's how sick the system is. Now, I can't say there are some judges and lawyers that are members of this organization. There are some.
Yeah.
Of course, most of them are very much against it. And what they say is, they have a word for it. They get real mad if you talk to them about it. The nullifying the law or something like that. A lot of lawyers, they become really angry if you talk about it. I mean, it's furious. Because they know about it, but they don't want people to know the truth about what your rights are when you're on a jury.
Well, if they get angry about it, I think that shows that it's really cutting close to the bone. So that's fully BullyInformedJuryAssociation.com, is it, Dan?
Yes, sir. Yeah, oh, yeah, they've been around for years. They're a huge organization.
I never knew about it, Dan. Thank you so much. And now, Dan, if you don't mind, we'll go on.
Can I say one more thing?
Okay.
One more thing? Yeah, if I can say one more thing. I'd like to say what the difference between a democracy and a republic is, what you might call a direct. According to Benjamin Franklin, the difference is if you have two wolves and a sheep, and they decide what they're going to have to eat, that's a democracy. But if all three of them have a weapon, that's called a republican form of government. Because the sheep can defend himself.
That was
Benjamin Franklin said that.
Benjamin Franklin, one of my heroes. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dan, in Texas. Now, are you there, Coy in Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do you got to say on this, Coy?
Well, I was pretty upset to hear what this guy's talking about. You know, I've been in this patriotic movement for 50 years, and I've listened to the Spotlight and the Crossing the Flag and dozens of other patriotic newspapers, magazines, you know, called American Free Press now, saying the worst thing that ever happened to us is the Constitutional Convention, because the internationalists, the socialists and commies in Congress have been asking for a Constitutional Convention for years. They've got their people in all the states, and that's why the states are asking for a Constitutional Convention. But all the experts say, if we ever get and this is their plans of the internationalists, in fact, Bill Clinton was heard to say to Tony Blair, well, I'd have gotten the guns away from our people over here, too, so we have this one little problem. It's called the Bill of Rights. And these internationalists say, once we get the Constitutional Convention, posse comitatus and the Bill of Rights are gone.
Wow.
And they will be, too.
Well, you know what? John in California, of course, who very much wants to see a constitutional convention, although he doubts maybe it will happen, said it is very controversial. He did say that earlier in the program, and your views on it show that indeed we're hearing at least two kind of widely divergent sides to it. Coy, is there any website that, you know, one website that you can give the listeners that they can go and learn about the dangers as you see it of a constitutional convention?
Well, I think if you just talk to the American Free Press
website. I believe AFP, isn't it? AFP,
AFP.org or something. But these people have not been shy about saying the biggest drawback to them not having control over America, they've said this for years and years now, is the Bill of Rights. They want it out of there so bad they can't stand it, and they have actually put their people in positions of power, and all the state senators, I mean the state governors and the state senators and state congressmen, and that's who's asking for this. If the people knew the truth why they want to do this, there wouldn't be any kind of Constitutional Convention, because these people are bought and paid for.
This is it's very tricky, though, isn't it? Because a constitutional convention is, the right to call it, is part of the Constitution of the USA, but if it was used as a back door to tear down the Constitution of the USA, that would be terrible. So it's quite a trick. I know Christopher Bolin of American Free Press. I think I'll ask him about it. Presumably he's got some ideas. You know what, Coy? Thank you very much.
Okay.
We're going to go on to Carl in California. You there, Carl?
Yes, I am. And I want to agree with the last caller in the dangers of the convention and the idea that if the politicians are already corrupt, what do we have to worry? Why do we think they're going to do something in the Constitution that we the people want them to do?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question.
And here's another thing about the democracy. Democracy, as far as republic, we are a republic, and we have the idea of sending a representative has worked for the last 100 and up to 1913. It worked so well that they wanted to amend the Constitution in 1913, and that's the 17th Amendment. You guys know what that is?
I don't. Do you, Ian?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay, we're listening.
Okay, the 17th Amendment is taking away the representative of, in other words, sending the senator from the House of Legislatures of the states to Washington, which hold him accountable. they wanted to get rid of that because the senator then in Washington would be held directly accountable to the states through the legislature. What they did is they amended the Constitution to put the 17th Amendment says that the senator would be elected by the people, knowing that they could influence the people in the way they wanted to put in the senators that dealt with whatever they wanted, and they would have no accountability to the people once they're there.
This sounds pretty bad. Carl, in your final word, have you got a solution to this? Yes, this sounds like a mess. But what do we do?
I think some state has got to stand up totally. And first of all, to have the Supreme Court override the states, that's idiotic. The states put in the Supreme Court. They are the sovereigns, not the Supreme Court.
Aren't the people sovereign? Aren't the people sovereign?
Yes,
really.
Yes, the people, but the states are the closest thing to work with that they could possibly work with. In other words, get a state to throw out the federal government. Get one fire burning in one state, like in New Hampshire, for instance. Get one fire burning in one state and show us that it can be done without the federal dictates, and let that spread.
That's a fine note for you to wrap up on, Carl. I thank you very much. And this has given a lot to think about. Let me turn now back to my guest, Ian Woods, who is a Canadian. I am a Canadian. The host today, Barry Zwicker, sitting in for Don Stadtmuller on the National Intel Report on rbnlive.com. We've had a lot from those listeners to mull over, Ian Woods. And the last thought was from Carl in California. He says, we need one fire burning. That's quite an image. What do you think of all this?
Well, from my studies about direct democracy, 50% of the United States have initiative and referendum tools to be able to create their own questions on the ballot. If they want to do so, they just have to clear certain hurdles, and they can put propositions and initiatives on the ballot so that people can vote on those issues. And another 50% have the recall ability, and that's the ability to recall an elected representative or even a judge. And this holds the senators and members of the House of Representatives accountable. And I think these are very good measures. We've tried to put them in place in Canada. The only province that we have is British Columbia. And in 1993, that was passed so that we're able to hold these politicians accountable. And I think that's just some of the tools that we need in a new system of participatory direct democracy. It would be very nice to have this at the federal level so that if we had a big issue such as should we get rid of Bush, all we have to do is, say, have 10% of the population sign a petition to be able to recall him as president. The other thing is that if there were such an overwhelming majority of people who wanted to cut the greenhouse gases, here it's something like 70 or 80% of the population of the United States would like to do that, then they can actually put that on a federal bill at the next election and be able to vote on that. And then the politicians have to do what the people want to do.
I suppose they have to do what the people want them to do, but as we move up toward a break, which will be 3 minutes, and then we'll have a final 3 minutes, let me ask you a provocative question, Ian. You better be careful how you answer this. What if the people of the United States, we're just talking about this country that we're in today, you and I are in New York City, What if through whatever mechanisms we've heard about a constitutional convention, it's controversial, yes, heard about direct democracy, we've heard about the power of recall and so forth, and what John from California said, or Carl from California, I'm sorry, he said the government would have to do this. And what if by whatever one or more mechanisms, grand jury, constitutional convention or whatever, it is very clear what the people want. And let us suppose this present government just simply refuses. It's such a stubborn, arrogant government. What is going to happen then?
Well, of course, there will be a popular revolution, and that's where you have sit-downs in Washington where people just refuse to go because they're just simply not being represented. If the politicians are not listening to them, they're, killing innocent people in foreign lands and putting up their sons and daughters to be targets. Of course, it's going to be a popular revolution. Hopefully, it's going to be one that's peaceful and a sit-down like Martin Luther King would want. And that's what I prescribe. But what we were talking about before is in order to reclaim our future, we have to have a goal to get towards. And the way I see it is the goal has got to be direct democracy, where we all vote on issues. And I think that the collective wisdom is much smarter than one or two individuals. Let me ask you a question, Barry. Is there one politician or two politicians out there that you would think that you would let them make a decision for you that you think is smarter than you?
Well, I don't know. It's very hard to answer because I think on some subjects I do bow in my own ignorance to people who know more, and it could be occasionally a politician. On the other hand, in general, I don't want to put myself in the hands of politicians because I think we have to be skeptical, if not actually distrustful in this day and age, of the politicians, most of them at least, because of what's been mentioned about the corruption in the whole system. I actually don't trust the whole system in the United States or in Canada because, as people have said, as you've said and others, it is corrupted. It's corrupted by money. We need at least electoral reform. So that maybe there is a common, a level playing field so that political candidates can only spend so much money. And they're all given the same amount of money from the public treasury, and then they can add to it up to a point from individual donors who can only give so much, so that the money, the big money, will not decide everything. But I really don't know how to answer your question in a yes or no way. I guess it's generally no, but maybe occasionally yes.
Well, my faith is in the collective wisdom of the people. I believe that if you were to take 100 people off the street, they'd make a much better decision than one politician. I can't think of any politician that I would trust with an action. I'd rather have 100 people make a decision, and some later point in time, they can change their mind if they want. I would try and lobby them if I felt that was the wrong decision. But, to have a politician out there with money sticking out of his pockets given to him by some corporation, that just stinks to high heaven. Now, the best, I think, solution is somewhat going on in Switzerland. They have direct democracy. The people that they send to the capital are people that basically do their bidding, and they vote four times a year on the issues. And that, to me, is the best system. It may not be exactly turned out the way people would like because Switzerland is a different kind of a country, but at least we can see that it's working. And I know that there's problems with direct democracy, but the thing is, if you don't give people the responsibility, then they never will become responsible. So that's where I see the hope here is that we've got to completely change our way of thinking and stop voting on politicians and start voting on the issues, all the issues that affect each and every one of us.
Boy, that's a strong statement. I did not know about the Swiss situation, Ian. I did not know there was a model somewhere in the world of something approaching direct democracy. I thought I was going to be hearing some music at 3 minutes to the hour. We have Jack from Florida on the line, and then John from California has returned. But you know what I'm going to say? We're not possibly going to be able to get back to John in California. We have the final music. We're going to wrap up. We've got 1 minute to wrap up here. I'm afraid we can't take Jack. Kind of too much of a risk that me as a greenhorn host wouldn't handle it well. So I'm going to ask my guest, Ian Woods, to have the last word here as the music plays into the last minute of the second hour of the National Intel Report. Ian, the last words to you.
Okay, well, please check out the various websites. One that we did not mention was 911truth.org. Please visit that and globaloutlook.ca. Nice being on your show, Barry.
It's a pleasure to have you on, Ian. The Canadians took over for these 2 hours.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.